Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic, who joins us weekly. The films Moon Age Daydream, We Are As Gods, and Pearl. I must say, a very eclectic mixture. Hello, David.
Hello, Jill. How are you doing this week?
I am all right.
Very glad to hear that. And yes, this is an eclectic group of films. They don't have a whole lot of stuff in common with each other, although a couple of them are documentaries of sorts, so I guess two of them have that in common. And let us begin with one of those, although it is certainly not a straightforward documentary. Moon Age Daydream, named after a work by David Bowie, the legendary and pretty great rock and roll and sort of general arts star of popular culture of recent decades, who of course died a few years ago, which is too bad. Moon Age Daydream is a very long, it's way over 2 hours, a movie about him, made by Brett Morgan. And it is rather like, to use a slightly old-fashioned analogy here, it is like a very, very, very long MTV music video. It is a documentary, since the stuff in it is factual, not made up. But it is not an informational documentary. It is an impressionistic documentary. It's basically just sort of about a 2.25 or so romp through a whole lot of David Bowie-esque memories. So we get snippets of performances. We get snippets of interviews. We get snippets of shots of him traveling to different places in the world. We get snippets of him talking with this person and snippets of him going to that place. And it's all blended together into this great swirling nonstop collage, or rather montage, of things, all of which evoke David Bowie. And the vast majority of frames in this movie have the face or form of David Bowie. It's all about David Bowie, and he's just everywhere in it. And, that's as it should be for a movie called Moon Age Daydream. It's kind of interesting because one of his accomplishments, and we see little snippets of this in the movie, he starred in the film The Man Who Fell to Earth. And just recently, there has been a TV series about based on the same novel, Man Who Fell to Earth. And that does not have, this new TV thing does not have David Bowie in it. But the various episodes are named after David Bowie's songs. And one of those episodes is named after Moon Age Daydream. So interestingly, Moon Age Daydream, this sort of slightly oldish song by David Bowie, is now the title of a couple of quite recent phenomena in the world of film and TV. So it just goes to show you, when you're a really major pop artist, as David Bowie certainly was, your work just tends to circulate and recirculate and re-recirculate, and it's happening again now. David Bowie was quite a protean figure. That is, he did all kinds of different things, and one of the things that I think was most interesting in Moon Age Daydream was that he was also a painter, and for a long time he was very, very reluctant to show his painting publicly, and we see bits of it in the film, again, snippets. And it looks like pretty considerable work to me, you know. I think the movie gives a nice impression of it and suggests that this was, in fact, another fairly major portion of his personality, his creative abilities. He refers to himself more than once in the movie as a good writer. He seemed very proud of himself as a writer. And it's really never clear whether that means songwriting, which, of course, he did an enormous amount of, or whether, you know, there were novels or something that are sitting in a trunk somewhere waiting to be released to the light of day. That's a little bit mysterious. But as I said earlier, Moon Age Daydream is not an informational documentary. I suppose if you're really fascinated with Bowie, it poses more questions than it answers, but that's okay. He was a slightly puzzling and mysterious creature, and the movie allows that impression to persist. We also see other accomplishments of him. For example, he starred in a Broadway play, The Elephant Man, and he did all different kinds of things. And of course, the movie, in fact, the movie begins with, and this is the sort of thing that's even more fashionable now than it was when Bowie came along, but it begins with a lot of stuff about his seeming bisexuality. I mean, by the end of the movie, he is a happily married man to a woman. So, you know, apparently people like him and like Brian Eno, who, by the way, is a great, great artist who also appears briefly in the movie. He apparently was quite the great womanizer, to use a slightly old-fashioned term, even though he loved to present this image of sort of indeterminate sexuality. And the movie begins with that, which I'm not surprised by, because that's the sort of thing that fascinates us so much nowadays. But it basically presents Bowie as a constantly mercurial artist, always changing what he was doing, always changing his public image, this and that. He always reminds me of Bob Dylan, another one of the great, great self-reinventors of modern popular culture. And of course, Bob Dylan is still very much around, which I'm delighted with. David Bowie is not. Anyway, people who love David Bowie are going to have a wonderful wallow in every single snippet of Moon Age Daydream. People who aren't so crazy about David Bowie will find the whole thing probably a bore and should probably stay away from it. I just enjoyed sitting there and letting it all wash over me. I think David Bowie was quite the considerable pop artist of the 20th century and early 21st century, but I've never been one of his great, never been a groupie of his. So I just sort of enjoyed sitting back and letting it proceed and letting it wash over me, and then it was over and I went home, and that was okay too. So Moon Age Daydream, great for Bowie fans, not so great for non-Bowie fans, and probably somewhere in the middle for everybody else. So that's my story about Moon Age Daydream. Let's turn now to a much more conventional documentary, We Are As Gods, which is directed by David Alvarado and Jason Sussberg. And this is a documentary about Stuart Brand, the inventor of the Whole Earth Catalog, among other things. As the movie points out, the Whole Earth Catalog, which was, for people who are not familiar with it was a big, thick book. It was sort of the Google search before Google was invented. It was a book in which you could go and find information or sources to get pretty much anything you could think of. Well, that's an exaggeration, but a whole lot of different kinds of stuff. The subtitle of the Whole Earth Catalog was Access to Tools, and that's how Stuart Brand saw it. He thought the world needed somewhere you could go and you could find out where you could get the tools to accomplish the wonderful things that humanity is meant to accomplish. And the title of this film certainly indicates that attitude. We Are As Gods. This comes from a very famous quotation of Stuart Brand's. We are as gods and might as well get good at it. That's what he said. And what he meant by that was that human beings, if they have the right tools, which is what he wanted to help provide through the Whole Earth Catalog, if you have the right tools, human beings can accomplish anything that gods might accomplish. Our future is unbounded. Our potential is limitless. That was his philosophy. And so that's where the title of this movie comes from. And I have to say, a number of the projects that are dealt with in We Are As Gods strike me as very utopian and also as kind of crazy. And that's one of the wonderful things about it. Stuart Brand, in his way, was kind of crazy, I suppose. He was a pioneer of many things. He was an early user and sort of prophet for LSD. He was very, very, very early on the computer bandwagon and saw the potential of computers and home computers before a whole lot of other people did. And he was very much an environmentalist, really into that. That was always one of his major identities. And We Are As Gods gets into all of this different stuff. And I said there are some crazy projects in this movie. For example, one of the big projects, and Stuart Brand is really fascinated by this, is to recreate in the style of the Steven Spielberg movie Jurassic Park, bring back vanished species by using their DNA. For example, the woolly mammoth. Okay, so that was done, that kind of thing was done in the fictional movie, Jurassic Park. But Stuart Brand really wants to accomplish this sort of thing, and not just for the sake of doing it. The idea is that if you bring back the woolly mammoth, you also have to bring back the entire kind of Siberian steppes where the woolly mammoth had its natural habitat before it was extinct. And this is somehow going to revive the climate of the entire world and erase global warming and do all of this phenomenal stuff if we can just get it done. Well, every news report that I hear about global warming is that we're on the brink of catastrophe here right now, and this is a project that even Stuart Brand and his cronies acknowledge will take centuries. So it's not quite clear how all of this is supposed to work, and questions like that arose for me in the course of the movie. Another fascinating thing that the movie gets into is somebody else's project, which Stuart Brand was very interested in, to create this thousand-year clock, a clock that will, like, chime, you know, once every century or something like that. And it's actually been built, and it's out there in a mountain somewhere. And this is the kind of thing, it's all supposed to change our awareness of time and get us more in tune with the natural rhythms of the universe. But the whole thing strikes me as very dreamy and utopian. So, We Are As Gods gives a very nice little overview of Stuart Brand's philosophy of life. It gets into negative sides of his personality, among other things. The actor Peter Coyote appears in it, and he has interesting, very skeptical things to say about a lot of the things that Stuart Brand has promoted and pushed and been involved with. And I found that a very refreshing part of the movie. This is not entirely hagiographic, this film. It's not entirely Stuart Brand was a magnificent pioneer and all we have to do is learn from him. It has a little bit of skepticism in there too. But for the most part, it's a celebration of Stuart Brand. It's a celebration of his utopian worldview. It's a celebration of what humanity might be able to achieve if it could only set aside its differences and all of that. And so I found it very engaging to look at. I was also very skeptical of a lot of things in it. I wish the movie itself were a little bit more skeptical about a lot of those things. But if you want to have a look at a truly a utopian personality, who, by the way, is still around. He's really old now. But there he is. The drugs and stuff like that plagued him at certain times during his career. Haven't gotten him down. He's still around. And it's fascinating to see him and hear him in this movie. So We Are As Gods did not convince me that we are as gods, but I found it an engrossing and interesting movie to look at. And by the way, a very conventional film about a very unconventional person like Stuart Brand. So, now for something completely different once more, Pearl. Pearl is, yes, a horror movie. There are so many horror movies nowadays, but hey, that's okay with me. I like horror movies. At least I like good horror movies. And Pearl is what I would call an okay horror movie. It's actually a sequel, or rather a prequel, to a recent horror film called X, which was also, just the letter X, which was also directed by, written and directed by Ty West, and starred Mia Goth. And this is another movie with the two of them teamed up again. X was a movie about a group of people who move into an old farmhouse with the ambition of making a pornographic movie. So X is full of all kinds of sex stuff, along with all kinds of violence and stuff and whatnot. What the new movie, Pearl, does is to go into the origin story of that. And we focus on a character named Pearl, hence the title of the film, played by Mia Goth. But here we are way back in the World War I era, long time ago. It's not a more or less contemporary movie like X is. And she is living on a farm, and she's very discontented with her life, and she's very anxious and very restless, and she somehow wants better, more exciting things. Her father is totally disabled, and a large part of her life is simply caring for this total invalid. Her mother is extremely strict and old school. They come from Germanic stock, and the mother disciplines her in German sentences and all of this. So Pearl is not happy with this father who can't do anything and this mother who does altogether too much in sort of lording it over her. And so Pearl finds her little escapes where she can as a young woman. For example, she goes into town. Her husband, by the way, is off fighting in World War I. And when she goes into town, she meets a movie projectionist. And she sort of starts to realize through this that there are other things in the world, and there are great worlds of fantasy, and there are great possibilities for doing other things in life if you are only bold enough to dream and so forth. And then she goes back to the farm, and oh, she's more discontent than ever. So things develop that way. But this is, as I said, a horror movie. So, yep, along the way, we get these terrible bursts of violence. We get a taste of this very early in the film when Pearl commits an act of totally gratuitous violence. And I'm glad to report that it's not too graphic, although, you know, you definitely get the idea. On one of the farm animals, a perfectly harmless farm animal, Pearl, we discover very early in the movie, wields a mean pitchfork when she wants to. And so we know from the beginning that this poignant woman who really has dreams and is living an oppressed life and all of that, that has a capacity for real violence within her. And as the movie moves along, we see that violence get manifested in more different ways and on more different people. I have to say, there's not an enormous amount of violence in Pearl. When it does happen, it's very graphic, and anybody who is doesn't want to see, for example, a very vicious pitchfork should stay away from this movie. And the scene that's already, I think, the most famous scene in the movie is one where Mia Goth, as Pearl, delivers this long, heartfelt monologue about the discontents of her mind and heart and soul. And it's all filmed in one long take, and it's very well acted, very nicely done. I suppose that Mia Goth probably thinks this is a monologue that might make her a big star, and I suppose it possibly will. Generally speaking, though, I found Pearl a refreshingly restrained, except during the bloody moments, horror movie that develops some plausible characters, especially the character of Pearl, goes along largely predictable lines, but has a few surprises along the way. So as I often say, Jill, if you want to see an okay horror movie with some real blood and gore in it, then Pearl is a movie for you. If you don't, then stay far, far away. And so that is my very mixed bag of a story this week.
We love eclectic mixed bags. It's what we live for. Thank you very much, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the films Moon Age Daydream, We Are As Gods, and Pearl.